Atlanta and Cleveland, each with the ability to provide 6,000 daily coronavirus shots. Coronavirus Special Advisor Andy Slavitt says it brings the total of FEMA-supported sites to 18. More than 27 million Americans fully vaccinated against the coronavirus will have to keep waiting for guidance from federal health officials for what they should and shouldn't do. And on Wall Street, the Dow's up 428 points. More details at srnnews.com.
I have two dogs, Sam and Bailey. Both are golden retrievers. Poor Sam, he was a mess. Always itching, his paws were soaking wet all day from just constant licking. He had bald spots on his back. I just don't like putting shots and steroids into your dog all the time.
DINOVITE.com.
Dynavite is nutrition. Probably 2 weeks after he started Dynavite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent. It's amazing stuff. Since Bailey has been 12 weeks old, he's been a Dynavite dog, and he has zero issues today. He won't eat his food without Dynavite. When I get out the Dynavite, my dogs actually salivate, like I'm getting them a treat. They drool over it. Dynavite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We have another very comfortable day today, but cooler air is on the way for the weekend. Today, dry, comfortable, high temperature up to about 71. For tonight, mostly cloudy, some widely scattered showers possible in the overnight hours, low 45. Tomorrow, a breezy day, noticeably cooler, with a high temperature only in the low 60s. We'll be in the low to mid 60s on Sunday. Good bit of sunshine over the weekend. The nights will be chilly, like we'll be in the 30s on Saturday and Sunday night, then back up to close to the upper 60s on Monday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
We're redesigning financial freedom at CBNS Bank. Make purchases at participating stores and restaurants using your CBNS Bank debit card through your mobile device with Mobile Wallet. Charges and fees may apply from your cellular service provider. Contact your service provider for information. Member FDIC.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. A man is dead following a shooting in Millbrook. The shooting happened Thursday in the 4100 block of Abrams Drive. Police say 27-year-old Lewis Lucas was shot and taken to the hospital where he later died. No arrests have been made. The shooting remains under investigation. The Montgomery community held a vigil last night for four people killed in a house fire last month. That fire broke out in the 800 block of Gibson Street on February 22nd. At this point, Montgomery fire investigators still have not released the names of the victims or cause of the fire. And Governor Kay Ivey has extended the state's mask mandate until April 9th. However, she says she will not extend it any further past April. The order also loosens restrictions on some businesses. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Saddle up for the 64th Annual Southeastern Livestock Exposition Rodeo at Garrett Coliseum, March 18th through the 20th. The best in BRCA freestyle bullfights. Fun for the whole family. For tickets, visit slerodeo.com or call 888-2-RODEO-2.
Cha-ching, cha-ching. Now, if your dresser drawer doesn't sound like that, you might have jewelry that's been sitting there too long. Bring us in to us at Marguerite's, and we will let you walk away with a check. We'll swap you out for something new or make you something special with your heirloom jewelry. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Bring it into Marguerite's. Let us do something. Don't let it sit there and get moldy. I don't know. Whatever it does in the drawer. But bring it in, and let's fix it up and make something great for you or walk away with a bunch of money. Come see us at Marguerite's. Thanks.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM. It's a Friday, so
It's Legislators Roundtable with Senator Clyde Chambliss and Representative Mike Holmes. Gentlemen, it's good to have you back in the studio, Clyde. Great seeing you, Mike. I haven't seen you in a while.
No, I haven't been in the studio, but I've seen you at church is all, but I haven't seen you guys since the pandemic started.
I know, we've been living a low profile out here. Let's start out with the number one topic, and that is gaming. Let's start with you, Clyde. I hear Del Mar saying, I've got the votes, but we need to kind of clean up the bill. Does he have the votes, in your opinion?
I think he does. The thing that people sometimes lose track of is we are a two-chamber body.
Right.
So you can have the votes in the Senate all you want.
So he's kind of honing it.
If you ignore the House and don't bring them along, then your work is futile. So I think that, I know, that's what he's told us, he's slowing down in the Senate, working with the House, getting their input, so hopefully he sends them something that they're at least is palatable to them.
To you, Mike, Reed Ingram was in here, and he felt that this might have a real hard time in the House. How say you?
I think Reed's right. I agree with him. And I agree with Clyde. They're two separate chambers, and they think differently, and it takes a lot different strategy in the Senate than it does in the House to get so many people, 105 people on board, or the majority of those. In this case, a supermajority, because it's going to be a constitutional.
Are y'all turtles? Meeting.
Are we what?
Are y'all turtles in the words of Kay?
We try to be turtles. wise and deliberate, yes.
Slow, but methodical.
Yeah, but I think that's right. There's still a lot of unanswered questions. I know they were meeting as late as yesterday. When I left the State House yesterday, there was still a meeting going on, still negotiating on points, modifying the Senate from a lot of different people coming from different areas. So I'm not sure. Maybe Clyde's got some secret information that I don't have, but if anybody really knows what's in there at the moment today, what's in there that's going to stay. We've all seen the original draft.
And what's your biggest problem with the bill?
The complexity of it, I'm a little concerned. It appears that PCI is gaining a lot of ground for nothing here. I mean, we're pretty much turning over half or more of the gambling.
PCI being the Porch Creek Indians.
Porch Creek Indians, yes, and their operations. I'm a free enterprise guy. I don't like these monopoly things, particularly when they're with a sovereign country.
And I know how much you like government picking winners and losers, too.
Well, I do not. I do not. So, yeah, I'm troubled with that part. It's probably my biggest part of it.
Reed actually went as far as to say that he didn't feel as where we are right now, it could get even out of committee in the House.
I could not agree or disagree with that. And in fact, I'm not even sure which committee it's going to be in.
Well, that was a question. It's in tourism in the Senate, but then somebody told me it's going to be in Judy and tourism in the House.
I've not heard of that strategy. How do you get it in both? You're going to have different parts of the bill.
Well, they just did that on the medical marijuana, sent it to health and
Judy. So they wanted to sign it
because it has components of both. So
it's one problem that you have. It's a mixture of the lottery and gaming in one bill versus two.
That just adds the complexity. Yeah, it was a pretty simple decision for our voters to make. If we had had a referendum back 4 years ago, 2 years ago, the other times we tried this, when it was just a lottery, the moving parts were not nearly as many, and it was much more simple for people to consider, starting with the House, and then when you get to the people, clearly going to have to be a referendum, so you got to convince a supermajority of the people that they understand it and they agree with it.
Right.
My biggest pushback was that the things that, and I'm not a supporter of gambling, I'm not a supporter of expansion of gambling.
But you do like money.
Well,
revenues.
I like stable money that can be depended on and blah, blah, blah. One of my biggest issues are the things that I wanted to add to the bill for fiscal responsibility, accountability, those type things. Really don't need to be in the Constitution. Just like the names of those entities don't need to be in the Constitution. Those are that is very problematic to me. So that was my pushback. That
when
was
you say entities, pushback. You're talking about the entities that would actually operate the gaming facilities.
Correct, correct. You don't need to name a company in the Constitution. No. That's just bad business.
How would you decide what company to come?
You put that type of information in the enabling legislation.
Okay.
That can be changed and amended and that kind of stuff through the legislative process. And what you put in the Constitution are the framework, the parameters, the outline, if you will.
But one will take a two-thirds vote, one will take a simple majority.
Correct, correct. Okay. However, and that was my push, that was other people's push, and that's what Dale decided that he would do. So that's part of the delay, and maybe even all of the delay, except for getting more support in the House, is let's separate, let's put in the Constitution the things that need to be in the Constitution, let's put into statute the things that need to be in statute, and there will be two statutes, one for the lottery, one for the Gaming Commission, and so it's even going to be more complicated than what you had seen before.
But you're talking about two statutes that are the enabling
correct
regulation versus yeah. CAs.
One for the lottery, one for the gaming. So
okay.
That is the way it needs to be done. Again, it makes it more complicated to some degree. It simplifies the CA because there's a lot of details that won't be in there that don't need to be in there, like I said. So anyway, that's what I've been focused on. I've been working through. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time on this, and
He dropped his head when he said that, guys.
I want to get the bill right. I don't like what it's going to do and all that. And I've said it before, this is the most transformative bill in my lifetime. If this bill passes 10 years from now, our state will look differently when you come
literally.
In as a guest. Literally. We need to be careful and be systematic and methodical, and that's what we're doing now, so I'm pleased with that. And you know, again, he has the votes, but he has been Dale has been very willing to work with me and others to get the bill in the right format. So I really appreciate that, because he don't have to do that. If you have the votes, you can just bulldog it through. But I think he wants to do it right, too. So I really appreciate that.
Okay. When's your prediction that it will go to the House? When do you think it will go to the floor to be voted on?
The discussion was or is that it'll be this week. There's, in my mind,
this week, this coming week.
Yes, sir. This coming Tuesday, which would be the 9th, I guess. The issue that I see there is you have the enabling legislation that's not on the par with the CA as far as through the process. So
it has to catch up.
I'm not so sure people are going to be willing to vote on the CA until the enabling legislation catches up with it as far as being available for the floor. So I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but that's an issue I see coming up.
So let me make sure I understand. So the enabling legislation would also come out of tourism?
Not necessarily, but probably. It hasn't been introduced yet. So if it's introduced...
Yeah, I'm in agreement. So if you have a CA that hits the floor on Tuesday without the enabling legislation, you don't know what you're going to get
right.
Afterwards.
The enabling legislation would be introduced Tuesday, in committee Wednesday at the earliest,
floor
second
Thursday.
Reading on Thursday at the earliest, floor action the following Tuesday at the earliest, unless we meet an extra time on Wednesday, and then it can all be done within a week. So,
where are we on the number of senators, considering we're down a few?
We're up one. Representative Kirk Hatcher from Montgomery has been elected this past week.
He was sworn in.
And, you know, shout out to him. Look forward to learning more about him and working. And we both represent the River Region, different parts of the River Region. So we had a brief conversation this week on the floor, so I'm looking forward to that. So with that, we're down one Republican, Cam Ward, and two Democrats. So we're down three.
Three.
Yeah.
But they will not be in, so still... Going to be a vote based on
32. 32, right.
Okay.
But that does not change the threshold that you have to meet for the CA. It's still 21,
right.
Regardless of
but
the
But it's
number.
21 out of 32 versus 35, which
correct.
Is different.
Correct.
You're playing with a higher number amount of volume.
That's
Let's
right.
talk about budget real quick. Where are we on budget? How do you feel about it, Clyde?
The budgets are starting to be massaged and put together now. The education budget starts in the Senate this year. The general fund budget starts in the House this year, and we rotate those every year for those who may not know. We're more focused and had some discussions with Senator Orr, who's the chairman this week. He's going to be working all this weekend putting his first draft, and he's asked for input over the last couple of weeks from legislators, or senators rather, and I'm sure Klaus has been doing the same thing in the House for the general fund. Those will be getting ready to move. And normally I would like to see them earlier in the session, but this year I'm okay with them being a little bit later because of, you know, COVID and all the uncertainty in the economy, and, you know, the little bit later we have a little bit more information to see.
On your side of the House, you see gambling being voted on and then budget, or you see something in between those two?
It'll be gambling, and there'll be other things, and budgets will be, I'm guessing...
2 weeks?
2 to 3 weeks, yeah.
Ooh.
But we still, I mean, we go our last legislative day, or possible legislative days, May 17th, I think. So, I mean...
Mike, what have you heard in the House?
You know, one of the things that Clyde's just talking about, though, that's the calendar days that we can use.
That's right.
We're burning through our session days rapidly. Session 12.
More than
that. That only leaves 18 to go. So, I mean, you got to get a lot done in those days. We got our copies of the budget, the general fund budget, day before yesterday. That'll be on the floor.
Is this Klaus or is this the governor's package?
Steve Klaus. Well, okay. It's a combination. The Klaus one did not agree exactly with the budget. The governor's, as you can imagine, he's pretty fiscally responsible, and he got a lot of feedback that it's not significantly lower, but it's lower than the governor's recommendation, and it's not in any one particular place that it was taken out of. It was spread out with 10 or 12 different entities that didn't get what they were asking for in his version, but... I spent some time on it yesterday afternoon, and I didn't come up with three or four questions that I need to ask him to clarify for me. So I'm pretty well pleased with the way it came
out.
Do
you remember what the Aaliyah and state troopers were? Anything done with that?
I do not remember that. It must not have been too dramatic because I didn't. That wasn't one on my list. I didn't put that on my list.
Let me go to a break. Dan Morris Show, Legislative Roundtable coming back. Department of Corrections and Prisons.
Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV. He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
A1 Plumbing.
Listen, I need a plumber over here right now.
Let's see. We could get to that in about 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Uh-huh.
Look, I was installing a new toilet and the water line broke. Now I'm standing in about 3 feet of water and it's still rising fast.
Uh-huh.
Look, I'll give you $50 extra if you can send someone right now.
Maybe 2 weeks.
Okay, $100, but you need to get here right now.
All right, keep your shirt on. What's that address?
I'm at 3301 Center Avenue, the block from the door.
Must have changed his mind.
Whether your problem is big or small, Cole Plumbing can fix it right, usually the first time, and as economically as possible. With our experienced and background-checked employees, we take pride in knowing that we are one of the most trusted companies in the area. When there is trouble with your bowl, call on Cole, 279-8919, or go to coleplumbing.com.
While you may be making sure your pet has everything they need, the River Region Humane Societies need your help too. Blue Water Broadcasting and Air Now Home Services are doing something about it. Help stuff our Sprinter van full of badly needed shelter supplies. Bring your donations to Air Now Home Services on Main Street in Millbrook. For electrical, heating, and air, our big yellow trucks will be there. It's our annual Paw It Forward Pet Drive. Donate what you can. From Blue Water Broadcasting and Air Now Home Services.
For more information on the Paw It Forward Pet Drive, go to newstalk931.com.
Hi, this is Carl Schmidt, naturopath and owner of The Herb Shop. Listen every Saturday to Winning Wellness and learn from experts in different fields of science and technology how nutritional supplements can help you.
Listen to Winning Wellness at its new time every Saturday at 10 a.m.
This is your roving reporter, and I'm talking today with an Imperial Stormtrooper.
Hello!
Now, I understand you work on the Death Star.
Well, I did until it blew up, man, you know?
I see. But you're still employed by the Empire.
Oh, that's right, man. As a matter of fact, I'm on my way to pick up my paycheck right now.
I see. And here, long, long ago, in a galaxy far, far away, do you use a financial guy?
Yeah, man. We all use David Ernest, man. He is like the Obi-Wan Kenobi of finances, you know?
Well, isn't it hard to contact him way out here in the galaxy?
Oh, no, man. Just call him at 279-7431, and he will gladly help you take care of your money.
Well, just one more question. I understand that you stormtroopers are the worst marksmen in the galaxy.
Oh, no, man, that's not true, man.
Really?
Yeah, man. You see that droid over there?
Yes, I see him.
Watch this.
You missed him.
Oh, no, man. I was aiming at Darth Vader. He's way back over there.
Right.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, question, comments, viewpoint for our legislators. Before we go back to them talking about prisons, remind you, Morris Corporation of the South in Wetumpka, in Mike Holmes District, sitting up on top of the mountain, helping people with conventional FHA and VA loans, refinance, equity loans, good credit, not so good credit, 567-9000. That's the number to Mortgage Corporation South, NMLS number 232-876. John Williams, an equal housing lender. Prisons. What's going to happen in that bad boy subject?
It seems like the governor's going ahead with her plan. There's an interesting bill was introduced in the House this week. Chairman Jones of the Rules Committee introduced it, and It actually puts some brakes on after the fact, which is an interesting way to go about this. It seems to me that we should have, but it's too late now, but should have done something like this 6 months ago instead of 30 days, 60 days after the governor went ahead and started signing contracts. But it puts an overhead or advisory...
Oversight.
Oversight, not advisory, oversight committee in place. With a good diversity of members on that, I think 10-person committee, I believe it was, but that's going to be interesting to see what impact they may have going forward. The other thing is still got to be done is there really is no provision in the general fund budget as it's stated now for servicing this debt, and that may be purely a timing issue.
Servicing the debt or servicing the lease?
Well, the lease, service the lease. Okay. But you know, now, and it started off at what, $83-88 million, excuse me, yeah, $1 million a year, to now I understand it's up over $100-110 million.
Hate it when that happens.
It's not being still, and I think you can project forward that this is going to have to be negotiated all along the way, so we can be assured that it's not going to look the same 30 years from now as it is today. So getting that budgeted and appropriated is a challenge, in my opinion. That's what we're supposed to do in the House. So, it's there. It seems to be moving ahead, although we can see no dirt flying and we can see none of that. We just keep hearing that it's on target. So,
in the lease, have you seen the lease?
No.
What?
I've seen it, but it's so long and so
768 pages? I mean, come on, you don't have time?
I mean, it's already signed, so what's the use?
Well, I would wonder if there's a performance level in there that they must deliver X product by X date, for example, at X price. Or is it a net?
I would say there's bound to be. I mean, you got too many eyes looking at that not to have some clauses in there like that for protection.
There are, but the problem is until they go to the bond market, you don't know what the final cost is. That's a problem. That's a real problem to me.
Particularly with interest rates going up.
I think the right decision was made as far as the three counties. Now, within those three counties, the sites are not right, in my opinion. It needed to be on state-owned property. And, you know, Mike, you mentioned 6 months ago, but we can't call ourselves into session. So we can't come in and do that kind of thing. So and obviously there's bills this session that are going to deal with that. So we'll see how those go.
What kind of impact is that going to have, Mike, in doing Tennessee versus the Draper, Staten grounds?
Well, fiscally, for the taxpayers of Alabama, it's going to have a huge impact. Over time, it's going to cost over $1 billion extra to service that debt that we could have set our bond rate, you know, in this current market before it's. And you know, Dan, you're in the business. The 10-year has been going up pretty dramatically last 10 days. So, you know, we may be past that window now to get that kind of
thing. It's doubled.
30 days ago, 60 days ago, we could have gotten historic low bond rates, and that's the basis that my $1.2 billion savings is based on. So, and I think the climate is right to do that. Clyde and I have met with the governor's leadership group and the county commission in Elmore County. Everybody in Elmore County that I talked to, except the Tallahassee group, is pleased to have it in Elmore County. The Tallahassee group is adamant about it, and I say the Tallahassee group, this is split. It's not obviously not unanimous, but there's an awful lot of people that are no prisons in Tallahassee. They don't want it there. But going back to the fiscal reason.
And on our right, we have Schlumberger, and then on our left, we have a maximum security prison.
Yep. Going back to the fiscal side of that, though, is we already own somewhere between 2,500 acres of land, already has the infrastructure in place. We have a trained workforce within 10, 15 miles of there that want those jobs. And we've got a community that loves the DOC, they love that relationship. So, I mean, everything's set there that you could do it for. You know, probably the savings I'm talking about, we figured out, is about $1.2 billion less.
Out of curiosity, why did they not do that?
Have I asked that? They didn't trust the legislature to fund it. And I don't know how they're going to trust them now. If they do it and then ask us to pay for it, it's a little bit different of ask.
Clyde?
Well, it's like a lot of things. It is very complicated because of this Land Sales and Lease Act, the Public Works Law, and making all
that. I was actually kind of surprised when Will Barford educated me about the Land Act.
Yeah,
That was surprising to me.
You know, however, you know, the impediment, or one of the major impediments to the legislature acting, are the selection of the sites, the selection of the site, and the ones that you're going to close. So the governor solved those two issues. So if we could have had another shot at it after those decisions were made, I think it would have been a no-brainer for us. But, you know, it's you know, water under the bridge and nothing we can do about that.
What's the relationship between the governor's office and the legislators now?
Well, we've worked well together for years, you know, holistically. We're not supposed to agree on everything.
Of course.
When we agree on everything.
But do you think, let me use another legislator. They felt that they were kind of taken advantage of and ignored. And that there's some feelings about that in the legislature.
The governor's office or the legislature?
The legislature felt ignored and taken advantage of.
Well, yeah, I'm sure some feel that way. I don't feel that way. To the governor's defense, if we don't act and she just says, hey, the legislature don't act, I'm not going to do anything. Well, we know the courts are going to solve this for us. So I don't criticize her at all for doing what she did. I wish that once she made those decisions, we had another bite at the apple to do the bond issue.
Tweak it.
And to tweak the Land Sales and Lease Act so that we could put it on publicly owned property. But, you know, that's the rub, you know, and they know that. I've told them that. So we've been back and forth. And, you know, but if we go in and try to do something and we blow up her deal and we don't get ours done, well, then the courts is going to solve it, and it's going to cost us $6 billion instead of $3. So it's, you know, I'm not going to criticize her at all for what she's done. I just wish we had an opportunity after she did the site selection and the closure commission to come back to a bond issue.
Let me go to a break. Dan Moore Show back with a question from Randall after this.
The Dan Moore Show.
Have you ever felt a southern night? Free as a breeze.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hi, this is Dan with Dan Black Studios. Do you have a box full of old home movies, high school football films, or dance recitals of your kids, and you would like to transfer them to DVD or digital files? Well, give us a call today at Dan Black Studios. We've been providing professional video services for almost 40 years, and all work is done here in our facility. Call about our 50% off special for the month of March. Dan Black Studios, 279-6036, or danblackstudios.net, and like us on Facebook.
Is it a hassle getting your vehicle serviced? C-Square Performance Automotive will pick up, service your vehicle, and return it to you in the downtown area. If you work in the downtown area, let C-Square save you time with their pickup and delivery service. You will trust us, and your car will love us. C-Square Performance Automotive, 715 Madison Avenue.
Hi, this is Carol Kennedy with Camo Country, and we've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for many years, and we appreciate Blue Water Broadcasting helping promote Camo Country.
Radio advertising works. Our advertisers swear by it. Call Blue Water Broadcasting if you want to find out how we can increase your sales and bottom line. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by JB Windows and Siding.
Quality, beauty, value, and more. JB Windows and Siding has what you're looking for.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We have some weather changes ahead as a little disturbance brushes by the area overnight tonight with a few showers possible. Low temperature tonight, about 45. Tomorrow will be noticeably cooler, kind of a breezy day with a high temperature only in the low 60s. We'll be in the low to mid 60s on Sunday. A good bit of sunshine over the weekend. Chilly at night. We'll be in the 30s on Saturday and Sunday night. Back to the upper 60s Monday, then a major warming trend later next week. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Brubaker Motors is celebrating 80 years in the family business with huge savings on cars, trucks, and SUVs. From our dealership to your driveway, shop online anytime. It's better at brubaker.com.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV. Show.
Our gentlemen are checking their calendars. 272-922, ready if you have a question, comment, or viewpoint. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Randall. Randall, you're on with Mike Holmes and Clyde Chambliss.
How y'all doing, fellas?
We're good. How are you?
Good. On the since we voted on the gambling and the education fund and everything now for next year, if they both unpass it, where does the money, and they start selling licenses for the casinos, where does that money go, and how much of it goes to the county at the end?
There's two programs set up. One is the lottery fund, and the other one will be the gaming fund. And obviously the funds will go to those two. But how it's split beyond there is still fluid and still part of the negotiations. If I recall correctly, the most current version, the lottery money goes towards scholarships and education, and the gaming fund goes to various things. A part of it is the general fund, and it's split. I can't remember off the top of my head where all it goes.
I mean, not trying to get complicated, nothing. Since it's doing that, you already had your education budget. That means there's going to be some money in limbo. I just don't want it to, you know what I mean, water off in somebody's pocket. on
no,
a
no, no,
thing.
No, 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 no. This would be voted on by the people in November of 2022. Then it would be implemented in 2023 collection. So 2024 budgets would be the first before you would see this money.
And on the prison, who's going to maintain the building? After we doing a lease, are we the state going to do it, or it's an outside company that, through the?
Yeah, that was actually the reason why they wanted to do the lease, and I wasn't sure about that to begin with. But when I really studied it and thought about it, it's actually a pretty good way to do it. The maintenance is built into the lease, and the private companies have to maintain. They have standards in there, and there's all kinds of, pages and pages of technical details of how they have to do that and what the standard is. So that will be maintained by the private company that builds it.
But it's not a net lease where the air conditioning goes out. We're buying it, and they're installing it.
They are. They are. They have to do all that.
And I just want to say one thing, God. Thank you so much. And by my heart, that's because you're in the community when you do stuff like you do. I mean, you wrapped up down there, and you still find time for people who do a little fighting in their own time, man. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you, Randall. It's all about people and the relationships, and I was pleased to help.
Thanks, Randall. Appreciate it. I'll say one thing for both of you and other two is that you two are very plugged into your constituents and respond to them very, very well. I hear that all the time from my audience. Doug, welcome aboard the Demo Show. You're on with Mike Holmes and Claude Chambliss.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. Mike Holmes, my name is Doug Hall, and I reside in Titus, Alabama.
Yes, sir. I think we've met,
Mike. Mike, I know you haven't given up, and you may have addressed this. I just tuned in 10 minutes ago, and I know that this is not a hot topic. And what I'm talking about, and I don't remember if you have labeled it fair tax, flat tax, 10% tax, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've spent years on this. Do you have any update that you could share with this constituent?
Yeah, I've made it public when I gave up on it last year after it died in the coronavirus.
You did give up on it last year.
I gave up. Okay. I've spent too much intellectual capital and physical capital in it. Looks like there was no payoff there after trying for 3 years. I hate to say it, it's a good idea, and it sounds like you agree with that. It is a good idea.
I thought it was, Mike, but just keep doing what you always do, and that's just be true to your conservative values. And I'm so glad that you did decide to run for re-election, and you had my vote. And good luck throughout the rest of your term.
I appreciate that, Doug. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you, Dan, for taking my call.
You have a great day, buddy. Ah, we have to do the drawing for the Sweet Creek Farm Market Gift Basket. Totally forgot about it. Well, let's do it.
And the winner of the Sweet Creek Gift Basket is...
Clyde Chambliss.
Sam!
Sam?
Sam.
Oh, my God. We're going to regret that.
Yeah, I know.
Sam, we're watching Lamb until you call me at 272-9228 so I can hook you up. And the winner for the Mortgage Corporation South?
Craig.
Craig, you need to call me also. Because I need to get that card to you, like, now. So give me a call, guys. Let's go to next issue, medical marijuana. Tell me what you to think about the bill. Tell me what you think about the issue. Tell me how you think it's going to end up.
I'll start on that since it started in the Senate. This is something over the last few years I've spent a lot of time researching and trying to learn about and, you know, there's obviously a lot of passion on both sides of this issue. It came down to me kind of, you know, it's a 50-50 issue. 50% of my constituents want it, 50% don't. And, you know, what do you do in those situations? So to me, it came down to really two examples of people. One is a young lady that had been suffering with colon cancer for 7 years. The first 5 years, she was so nauseated from all the medications and the chemo that she could not function. She could not work. She could not do anything. She got in on one of the trials at UAB, and the last 2 years she has actually been able to lead a fairly normal life. Her nausea went from 10 to about 1, and so that was a big deal. And then another young man who has some very, very serious issues is having 30-some seizures a day. His body is having to expend all of his energy toward that. They've tried every medication that there's out there, and he's essentially just non-responsive. And he got in on one of the trials, and he's gone from 30 seizures a day to 3 a month. And he's developing and growing and able to start to communicate. And I can't deny those people that opportunity. And so I voted for it. I know that there's opportunity as a gateway and that sort of stuff. But the way we did restrict it, this is not smoking is not allowed. It's only the pills and the liquids. So
in the patch.
In the patch. And you have to exhaust other alternatives before you get to it. So I feel like the safeguards are there, and I voted for it.
Mike?
Well, we haven't had a chance to vote for it yet, but I'm getting buried in emails and phone calls and letters. So my part of Elmore County, the District 31, is still slightly ahead in my straw poll, about 60-40, that they don't want to do it. And the main reason, as Clyde mentioned, is the fact that it's still proven to be a gateway drug for leading to other drug issues that we already have in the state. I really appreciate what they've done with the bill this year, though, to really lay out some of the definitions that makes it much clearer of what they can and can't do. Most of everybody last time it was up and didn't go anywhere, but didn't have it defined of how it would be administered even. So, you know, it left a lot of doubt. It, smoking, which, you know, very easily turns into recreational use, the differences in the kind of cannabis they're going to be using for the product, the levels of THC, all that they're defining very clearly this time. So I think scientifically they're on solid ground, and I have strong compassion for the people it could benefit. I think there's a reasonable ask for that they can get some relief through this if it's handled right. So I have not even decided yet. I don't have to decide quite yet. It's coming up fairly soon, but I'm still listening to my constituents and doing a lot of reading.
When do you think the House will see it?
Not next week. We're going to spend a lot of time on general fund budget early, so I would say it'd be probably the following week is my guess.
So next week is going to be you'll see gambling and then general fund and then after that.
Yes.
Let's go to Sam, the winner of Squeak Creek Farm Market. Sam, congratulations.
Dan, I'm so happy. Let's just say that. But I want to say thank you real quick for bringing in the local representatives. It's always great radio when you talk to people, find out what's happening, and get the word out. So, yes, sir.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Sam, I just ask one thing of you. Once you go to Squeak Creek Farm Market, get whatever you get, give half of it to me. I don't have much time. All I ask is that when you go, whatever you get, call back into the show and tell us what you got and how your experience was.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'll yes, sir, I will. Absolutely.
I'm sending you Reed your number right now. Congratulations,
thank you,
my friend.
Yeah, when I got more time, I'll tell you. But thank you very much.
You got it, buddy. Let's go to John. John, you're on with Mike Holmes and Clyde Chambliss. Let's play the roundtable.
Hey, guys. Quick question. The prison in Tallahassee, who owns the property it's going to be built on?
I have no idea who the current private owner is, but the state has a contract on it. So the deal the governor's put together has an option to buy, and I'm not sure what stage. I've not seen it, but they have to have that, of course, to build it on. But it was privately owned property, I think somewhere in the range of 500 acres, and somewhere would be east and north a little bit of the town of Tallahassee.
South.
Yeah. I'm sorry, south. I'm thinking backwards. South.
Yeah, the sign, I live near Tallahassee, and the signs that I've seen, it's down by the sewer pond.
A little further out than that.
It is.
It's outside of city limits, probably 2 or 3 miles on that corner that you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. If there's an available piece of land that we already own as a state, why can't we use that and save $1 billion? I mean, come on, guys. That's a no-brainer.
If we had started earlier, we probably could have. There's an old statute on the books that forbids us from conveying property like that privately, so that we'd have to sell it to a developer like this, or we didn't have, the governor didn't think we had enough support to build it ourselves on our own land, so we could have done it that way. So there's several options, but we got started in that direction too late, it looks like.
Wow. Okay. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for answering my questions. Have a good day.
Thanks, John. Steve, you have a question for Mike Holmes and Clyde Chambliss?
Right. I was going to address this to Senator Chambliss. We've had a problem for a number of years, and I don't know how many people are aware of it, but I think you'll know what I'm talking about when I say this to you, and I'm not blaming you for it personally. But there's a situation. I live in basically a 5% tax area on Redland Road, or off of Redland Road. And there's some law out there, because we haven't been in police jurisdiction officially since the bailout way back in maybe 09 or whatever. The sheriff handles all of our stuff. So if we have stuff shipped to the house, or they bring propane to the house, anything else, the state revenue department's requiring them to tax at a higher rate, because there's two kinds of police jurisdiction. There's one where you're actually serviced by the city, and I think this is going on all over the state, where you're serviced by the city, and there's one where it's police jurisdiction for tax purposes, which I'd never heard of such. To me, it's just my opinion, but to me it's illegal, it's unethical, it's taxation without representation. But you wouldn't be able to find an attorney that would take it, because they're just interested in making money, and no right and wrong on the thing. And there's no way that you should be giving the city of Wetumpka or any other city a couple of percent when the person is not even in the police jurisdiction.
I agree with you fully. We actually have a bill that passed the Senate, I think it was this past week, that will address that issue, and it will take time to address it, to get it to work out. You're talking about a complicated issue. It is very complicated. But we are working on that. Senator Chris Elliott out of Baldwin County is the sponsor, and he and I have worked hand-in-hand on this one. He's a former county commissioner. I'm a former county commissioner. So we've worked through we've got it through the Senate, and worked through a lot of hurdles to get there. So it's in the House now, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I appreciate that, because if an individual did something like that in regular walk of life, something similar to that, they'd be put in jail for fraud.
Yeah,
food or...
but that's government for you. Steve, Reed Ingram's going to be in next week, and he's very plugged into this. Matter of fact, he's one of the guys handling it on the House side.
He is. He's a co-sponsor.
Who is it? Who'd you say, Ingram?
Reed Ingram will be in next Friday.
Yeah, I talked to him.
Okay.
He wanted to try to get something done, but you've got people... I went to my propane place, I think it was APEC,
yeah,
here a few months ago, and there were quite a few customers in there, and all of them were aggravated, not at APEC, but about having to pay the tax. You had people as far out as Titus, the money's going to the city of Wetumpka.
We know that. That's what we talked about last week also. Steve, thanks for the telephone call. Let me go to a break. RB, coming back to you after this.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hi, I'm Todd with River Region Contracting, a premier roofing contractor. Most people don't think that they have a roofing problem until they see water spots and stains on their ceiling. By then, it may be a little too late, because the wooden decking that supports their shingle or metal roof may be holding moisture, causing it to rot. Most insurance companies will not pay for the decking, causing you to pay more
money out of your own pocket. Why not call us today and set up an appointment for a free roofing inspection? It could save you some money. Call us at 334-356-8635 or go to riverregioncontracting.com or like us on Facebook.
With WOW Internet, your home is more than just a home. It can be your office and also a school and a gym and a store, a movie theater, a bar. You need speed and reliability to do it all. Get Super Fast Internet 100 for a crazy low $29.99 a month. Plus, for a limited time, get a free modem for 6 months. Sign up today at WOWWay.com.
Wow.
Limited to new customers with auto pay and paperless billing. Restrictions and terms apply. Offer subject to change.
Live local talk, the River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Wow, final segment of the Legislative Roundtable on a Friday. Representative Mike Holmes and Senator Clyde Chambliss in the House. Real quick before I go to RB, any legislation that's coming down the pike, Clyde, that we should be worried about?
Obviously, we've talked a lot about the gambling and what's going on there. Yeah, things are moving pretty well in the Senate. I don't know of anything that's coming that's I think it's going to be just detrimental or negative. So I'm encouraged. I really am.
You're encouraged, huh? Those wrestlers are keeping their heads up, Mike.
I'm optimistic too, but I want to go back to something Clyde said earlier, and I want to repeat it. This gambling bill is, if it passes, is going to have a huge impact on this state, and I think the legislature needs to take its time and do it right, and don't put it up for the people to vote on until it is right, so that we can honestly say this is the best we can do to be fair to the people and fiscally responsible.
Has there been any legislation talked about as far as the Director of Public Health doing things like mask mandates and trying to get a check off in the legislature?
Yeah, I'm carrying a bill that Wadley's got upstairs. In fact, y'all see you're going to have it on the floor next week, I believe it is.
Tell me about it real quick.
It's essentially, it's designed to rein in the executive control and power a little bit without ever, we admit and know up front that the executive branch has to have that power in emergency situations. We've been fortunate in this state. Most of our emergencies have been weather variety since 1918.
That COVID weather storm. But,
this time, this is entirely different.
What's the limit that you put on them? What is the limit you put on them?
I'm not sure what you're...
But in other words, how many days
okay. There's a clause in there, 14 days, without coming to the legislature. And the legislature's not in session. There's a fail-safe with a committee of legislators. I think it's an eight-person committee that could meet in an emergency situation.
Leadership, chairs, or assigned?
Leadership, leadership right down the board, including minority leaders in both houses.
Interesting. RB, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show. You're on with Mike Holmes and Clyde Chambliss.
Thank you. I'd like to follow up on, I think it's Senate Bill 240, on the reconstitution of the Department of Public Health.
Yep.
And
it's 241.
241, okay.
And this Senate number is, I believe, 97, SB 97, I believe, Watkins bill. It's a little ahead of us. We don't have it in committee in the House yet.
Well, the whole thing on that is that as just an American citizen who has set up and put up with all this crap from government for the last year, we have been told what to do by an unelected official that we cannot get to as citizens. I can get to y'all, too. Well, let me say this. Where I live in Montgomery, the people that that represent me, they don't respond to phone calls. They don't respond to emails. They don't do anything. You have to be able to get to somebody to elect them or not elect them if they do something that you don't like. Shutting down the economy and private enterprise and making mask requirements and all that for 12 months, that's communism. That's straight-up communism. And you have an unelected health officer that's doing that through the governor.
I can't disagree with you. I felt pretty strongly about that for the last 6 months.
And there are bills in this session that handles everything that you just said, so we'll see if they pass or not.
Yeah, but my whole thing is we are massively majority Republican. How can they not pass?
Because we live in a constitutional republic.
And what do you mean by that?
I mean that the minority has a power. We do not live in a democracy. In a democracy, you would be exactly right. But in a constitutional republic, the majority party has powers to block, to filibuster, to delay, to do things. We don't want to live in a democracy. A constitutional republic is far better. Now, that's the check on our power. As Republicans, the majority party is the check on our power, and that's the way our country and our state is set up.
I understand that, but I guess my point is this. If you take a small example, and don't get me wrong, I'm glad the bills have come up about the 14 days, and you can only do this and you can only do that. I don't quite understand why. I thought the one about being able to put yourself back in session failed. I may be wrong about that.
It did fail in the House.
I didn't understand that, again, because it's, you know, Republican majority on why you would not. Because if now you have a governor that says, hey, look, I'm just not going to handle anything on this, and it's a serious issue for the citizens, you ought to be able to do it.
Well, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to 1948. There was a constitutional amendment on the ballot in the state of Alabama that would have allowed us as the legislature to call ourselves into session. It would have, and it specifically talks about a pandemic or civil unrest. That ballot initiative failed 60-40 in the state. So if we as Alabamians had voted on that in 1948, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. Right. So those of my colleagues and my friends who say every constitutional amendment, vote no, vote no, vote no, please don't do that.
Yeah.
Read it, understand it, and then vote no if you don't like it. I'm fine with that, but just because it's a constitutional amendment does not mean it's bad.
I agree with you, and most people don't want to spend the time. They want to be ignorant, and quite honestly now, especially after last year, I don't listen to any news, don't do anything. I may listen to the radio some, but I go in and I read these bills and try to look at them and do that. But the other question I had is, and the reason I'm so passionate about this, you have mom-and-pop businesses that walked in one day in a restaurant that could hold 100 people and got told you can have 25 people in here 6 feet apart with only 6 people at the table.
Well, they were closed for almost 3 months.
Well, that's obvious. I mean, that was even worse. And that's from a state health officer that closed all those. And now you sit there and look, it's just way too much power for the common man like me. If we can't get to them, that's not right.
All I would say is be patient to see if the checks and balances of our system work. Afterwards, if they don't work, then get really mad and frustrated. But right now, while they're in the process, engage in it, support it, help it. And then if we don't do what we need to do, then that's a different story. So thank you for
your time, though. I appreciate it. Thank you.
How do you two think if that law had passed and was in there during this time, how do you think they would have handled that?
Good question. What I think would have happened is the first 2 weeks, first 3 weeks, nothing, we would not have done anything.
Right.
Because we didn't know.
You didn't know.
Nobody knew.
We had nothing to make those decisions on at that point. We had no data.
After the third week, the legislature would have went in session and would have made adjustments or would have ratified it. I don't know the answer to that. But I know after the third week is when we as legislators, we had been getting a lot of feedback, and we would have gone in and either done it or ratified it at that point.
And in your bill, once that group says, yes, go ahead, then it basically goes for another 14 days? And you have to come back for a reapproval?
I think that's right, yes.
Okay. There definitely, in my humble opinion, there definitely needs to be a limit in here. I think the unelected state health officer was completely out of line to do some of the things he did. Gentlemen, thank you. See you in 2 weeks.
Thank you. Good show. Thanks, Nate.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Clyde. Guys, be good. Be safe. Be back Monday at 12 o'clock. I'm going to keep doing this until I get it right. Joey, thanks for a great show.
Good show.
Gribby Dell, the great. He's next. Adios.